the apples. Had one person come along and they were just describing their freshman year in college, and the professor asked, well, what book really helped you in life? And the student raised his hand and says, I know what that is. It's my dad's checkbook. So thank you, Dad, for your generosity to Jesus and others. It'll be good. Today's message is entitled, probably the most common phrase that's out there, today's message, part three, God helps those who help themselves. That's the phrase we're taking a look at today. It's interesting because this is probably the most common misunderstood sentence that most everyone uses. The thing is, it's interesting, it really comes about saying, well, if you want God to help you, you need to get off your lazy backside and get to work. And seriously, if God sees that you might be serious, then maybe, just maybe, he might help you. Now, the problem with this phrase is that not only did God not say it, it's not even in the Bible. And it brings about a boatload of problems when people want to enjoy a journey with Jesus and enjoy the Lord. Now, we're going to have fun today, but we want to get serious about what this is all about, because I know I was raised with this phrase. We were a good family, faithfully going to Mass every Sunday, and my dad says, Paul, I want you to know you're as good as the best and better than the rest, but God helps those who help themselves. So we had a pretty stern work ethics going on. Then I found out that God actually helps those that put their trust in him first and are completely helpless. So I've been working hard at reminding how much I need him. Amen. Some of the things that now we want to share, why this is a problematic phrase to take a look at. This is important. What are the few of the influences that come about when you believe that this actually is something that's in the Bible? Here's the first one. The belief can lead to arrogance. It literally makes us prideful. When we go ahead and say, well, that turned out pretty good. I actually did something pretty well, did I not? We get all the credit. Another area is all of a sudden this belief can lead us to conclude that we have earned God's favor. Look it, man, God likes me. And all the rest of you are just struggling out there. It's a self-righteous approach. Very problematic. Another area to believe this way can cause us to think that we're better than others, more spiritual, more. We have more stamina. We have more capacity. We are less broken than the other person. When we take a look at that area, we can actually just say, well, I help myself because God's going to really give me some more gain here. It also can cause us to become judgmental of others when we see circumstances of life. And listen, life's issue really does bring in some problems to people. You take a look at somebody that's in problems like that, you'd come to that, they just simply deserve that because God helps those who help themselves. We can go on. Here's a few more. Why this is such a problematic phrase to really believe is out there from the Lord. If we can use this belief to deny our own responsibility to help others. Take a look at somebody that's in need saying, if you just kind of get with it, bro, get busy, then maybe I might jump in and help you. What about the story of the Good Samaritan? Remember that? Completely helpless. There are people that are really completely helpless and they need help. And finally, this belief can cause us to trust ourselves more than we trust God. And it becomes a huge barrier. I have seen this in individuals' lives, a huge barrier to our own spiritual growth and learning how to walk with God. Because I'm going to do this myself. So when we look here, just for those, if you're with me now and you're still there saying, man, I believe that God helps those that help themselves. You're still convinced that happens to be a phrase that we need to live by, then let's take a look at what the Word of God says. Amen? Amen? I'm in Proverbs chapter 3. Let's find that. Proverbs chapter 3. We're going to go with verse 5. Let's take a look, because everybody has an opinion, do we not? Let's see what God's opinion is. And here we look here at verse 5 of Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Now look at that for a moment here, because this has nothing to do with trusting yourself. This has nothing to do with gaining God's approval. It has nothing to do with earning God's help. The focus is completely on the Lord, nothing with ourselves. Now that's important, and I like the fact that this is a theme throughout Scripture. Most theologians understand this, that the Bible defines the Bible the best. If you are a reader of the Bible, you'll realize when you come across some weird phrase saying, that just doesn't make sense. The Bible does define Bible. That's how usually you approach it. You want to make sure there's continuity there. But we can see here that we're literally in this verse, we are commanded not to trust ourselves. So that's important for us to consider and to take a look at that. The spiritual reality, because we're spiritual people, born again of the Spirit. Spiritual reality is that God helps those who trust him first, that abandon their own self-approach to things, that admit they literally are helpless. That's where God will step in and help. So this kingdom principle is so different than what you and I in our society would take a look at and believe is. So let's understand now the Word of God. Let's take a look at this. Our first point, our relationship with God is based entirely upon our utter helplessness. Let's start with the very beginning, how we enjoy our relationship with God. I'm right there in Romans chapter 5, verse 6. Can you find that in your Bibles? Romans chapter 5, verse 6 for you who are watching live stream. There you go. It's right there. Scripture says, when we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Take a look at the phrase, when we were utterly helpless. Now I began my journey with God knowing this, I am utterly helpless. That's important to recognize. That's going to be our approach with God all the days of our life. Look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 14. We'll swing that up there on the screen for you. You were dead because of your sins, and because of your sinful nature was not even cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all your sins. Now look at that. You were dead. Now, a person who's dead cannot help themselves at all. So the Bible is saying, we are utterly helpless. We are dead. God had to come in and rescue you. There is no way you could save yourself. Our sins made us spiritually dead and cut us off from God. I could not help you. You could not help me. That is the approach of Christianity. That's the way God rolls it out. Why did God do it then? If God didn't come along and say, oh, you're so save-worthy, you know, pinch, oh, you're so cute, I just, so much, I'm just gonna save you. No, he came along in John chapter 3, 16, for God so loved you that he gave his only begotten son. Why did God do what he did? He just loved you. You could not gain anything. Say, you know, you're really trying hard at saving this thing. I think I'll give you a booster shot of Jesus. So it's important. Humanity was helped because of the love of God, not because of you working hard at that. I know you understand that, but it's important for me to remind us all. Relationship with God was completely, completely his work. If you have a relationship with God, God did it. He somehow worked his way into your awareness. Man, he loves me that much that he would try to get my attention. Hello, Paul, knock on wood. You need me. I like Ephesians chapter 2. Let's check it out. We'll throw that on the screen. Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9. God saved you by his grace when you believed. You can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. When we take a look at that, the Bible makes it very clear God did everything for our salvation. He did everything for our relationship. I know you probably know that, but we got to really drill that in. It's His idea. It's His plan. It's His grace. It's His forgiveness. It's His sacrifice. It is a gift to you. It's a gift. Whenever you receive anything from God because you worked at it, it stops being a gift. It's now something you earned or you feel you deserved. So it's important when we take a look at that. The truth sets biblical Christianity, what I'm just telling you, sets the truth of Christian approach and biblical Christianity apart from every other religion of the world. Every other religion of the world is a works to get there, to nirvana, to enlightenment, to paradise, to heaven. Islam has their five pillars to arrive at paradise. Buddhism have their eight principles and practices to enlightenment. So when you take a look at that, all of that is if you can work at that, then you will arrive. But not so with Christianity. If you are here today and you're listening to me and you're on some spiritual pursuit to determine where you're going to land, this is a very important point that we are all reminding ourselves on, because we're dealing with God helps those who help themselves. And some have even brought that into their pursuit to secure heaven. No way. No way. That's important for us to recognize. Bible is the only teaching that tells us we were so utterly helpless. God had to come from outside somewhere and enter our human race and give His life. Glory be to God. That's why I love the holidays when it talks about God and His plan. Don't you feel loved and embraced by Him? Let's take a look at number two. Trusting ourselves is condemned throughout the Bible. So let's look at that one. I'm dealing in Jeremiah chapter 17. If you can find that, it's a good passage there. You want to highlight that, especially the blessing part. But in Jeremiah 17:7, check it out with me, but it says, "This is what the Lord says." So I always perk up when I hear that. "Cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans, who rely on human strength and turn their hearts away from the Lord." It's like, whoa, that's intense. People often say, well, you know, I think I'm not cursed, and I don't think I'm blessed. You're either blessed or you're cursed. There's no in between, and the blessings come. Here's how. Take a look at verse 7. Same section of Scripture, Jeremiah 17:7, says, "But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence." I see it. Person can either be cursed, say, well, and God is still merciful. Oh, He's still merciful. Isn't He the one in the Old, and really the New Testament, where He says, "I let the sun come down on the just and the unjust"? Isn't He good? And even if you have nothing to want to do with Jesus, He's still very kind to you. But could problem why things are so rough around the edges in the way of a curse that we're not trusting the Lord. We could be still trusting or working hard to get things together. So why is this such a big deal? Why is this such a big deal to really have ourselves condemned if we're trusting in ourselves? Well, let's take a look here. These are some points, and I know you're writing notes because I can't wait for you to go to your life group and share them. So let's make sure you put it on down and consider that. But just in case you're looking at me and just looking and listening, here's a few things. Why it's condemned to put trust in ourselves. Letter A, trusting ourselves will turn our hearts away from God. It was Jesus that said that in Matthew 6:24. You can write that down. Remember when He said, you can't serve two masters. Our little compass will always turn right back at ourselves. Have you ever found how our prayers are and our attitudes and actions? Just listen to the way a person talks. It's always focused on ourselves. So to trust ourselves, to take a look at ourselves, we can't see Jesus. You will not ever point to Jesus. So that's the problem. Turns our heart away from Jesus. Letter B, trusting ourselves is how sin entered humanity. Man, this entire situation that we're dealing with started with Adam and Eve. Remember when they said, I don't want to trust God. I think I understand how this should roll. I'm going to go my way. They trusted themselves and their own understanding rather than trusting God. And listen, humanity's been doing that exact same thing ever since. So you see with this phrase, God helps those who help themselves, not in the Bible. It sure can be a problem. Letter C, trusting ourselves elevates us above God. If you look at Romans chapter 1, go ahead and write Romans 1. It's the depravity of man. Boom, boom. There. At least verse 23, that man says, I'm not going to worship God. I'm going to worship the creation. So you can see here where all of a sudden we have people that say, I'm literally going to make ourselves God because I'm going to choose what I'm going to worship and go after. We literally could say we idolize ourselves. Whoa. So that could be a problem. Letter D, trusting ourselves is what sent Jesus to the cross. Sin is simply independence from God. We all know that. I literally had another time where I had a conversation with a person and said, hey, Pastor Paul, I'm not worshiping the devil. I said, I didn't say that. You said that. I said, but all he wants all of us to do is not follow and obey Jesus. That's what he's doing. Are you not walking with the Lord? Because that, if you're not interested in following or living for him or really making him number one, then his mission is accomplished. So we have to be careful here. Trusting ourselves is what sent Jesus to the cross. And that could be a problem because it's self-focused and sinful in our independence that Jesus said, I'm going to come so we can have a relationship. Let's take a look at letter E. Trusting ourselves hinders us from following Jesus. I found this to be a case in my life. Not really following the Lord because I had to pursue some things. I didn't really trust him in a lot of things. What ended up happening was that I started thinking that, you know what, I'm going to go this way. God wants these desires of mine. It's very important to him. Therefore, Jesus, you come and follow me. Until you see right there in Matthew 16, 24, when Jesus says, hey, if you're going to follow me, this is what you got to do. You got to deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. Oh, man. So you can see here, we're not going to really be following Jesus. It hinders us from following the Lord to go after this pursuit. I've got to get some things done, and I think God will help me to get some things done. Letter F, trusting ourselves keeps us from discovering God's purpose for our lives. I think that's very true. Until we abandon our agenda, I think we'll never really discover God's plan and purpose. My will doesn't always line up with God's will. I say it often. It's kind of that, okay, I'm going to submit God to your will. Wow. And then I like the fact that Ephesians chapter 2, check it out with me. We'll just slot that in there and you can see. But Ephesians 2 verse 10 says this. We are God's masterpiece. Don't you love that? Aren't you? Look at how you all like beautiful tapestry. Just, we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. So I like that. You can't follow your plan and God's plan at the same time. Has anybody found? I found that out. It's like something's not right here. I worked very hard, 6 months worth. A lot of times I don't even, this is how it works with me. This is how it could be. It's kind of like the summer picnic for Hope Chapel was so good, we won't even pray about asking whether we should do a summer picnic. We'll just do it because it worked. It could be almost idolatry where we don't even check with God. We just do it. That's kind of my journey. I just thought I'd throw that out there. It's like, Lord, we like picnics. Don't get us wrong. But it's like, let's submit our ideas to the Lord. You get it, don't you? So when we look here, letter G, trusting ourselves keeps us from blessing. We saw in Jeremiah 17:7, blesses a man who puts their trust in the Lord. Obedience always produces blessing, even if it's scary. God knows your heart, and to do it is pretty incredible. So where does my individual efforts come in? That's a good question. Let's take a look at that. Where does our efforts happen? I mean, God's not going to do my school assignments. God's not going to go to work for me. God isn't going to write the messages. God's not going to come along and raise my children. So where are those individual decisions and efforts come in? And I think that's a great question. I'm glad you asked that. Thank you. Thank you. Let's look at number three. Individual responsibility is accomplished with dependency on God. Let's look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Let's go there. Philippians 2, verse 12 and 13. I like these two verses. It puts it together. God's work, our work. But it says, work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. So look at that for a moment here. I sure like that. The biblical perspective is basically that there is a spiritual tension, your responsibility and my responsibility. There's the dilemma happens when all of a sudden that dependency on God doesn't really materialize. We're not really dependent. I've often said you can tell a person how dependent they are on the Lord by how much they actually pray per day. I don't have time to pray. I'm just going to go and work. So you can see here, it's very important and eye-opening. So there's a spiritual partnership that you and I have with Jesus. Oh, it's a good one too. Man, it's a good one. You're in partnership with the Lord. You can see in this verse, work hard to show the results. Because Jesus, God, is working in you something that's also significant. Work hard, get going, do it. So it's the job is we partner with the Lord. Now, I need to let you know, our part, this is not a 50-50 split. There's no way. There's literally nothing we can bring to this partnership. I know that sounds odd, except a willingness to want to. That's all. It was Jesus that said, and write that down, John 15:5. Remember when he said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bear much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. So there's really not a whole lot, and that we need to depend upon the Lord. That's the phrase. Individual responsibility is accomplished with dependency on God. An example I'd like to give, when I partner with my grandchildren, they come over. And Ainsley and I have certain things we enjoy doing. And for her, it's baking. And we're going to bake now, everybody. And she brings out the pans and the trays and the mixing bowls. And we're going to make cookies. Yes. And the children go at it with Ainsley. Her name is Mimi. And they go ahead and they contribute their willingness and their desire for relationship. That is really all that they can contribute. It's very little that they accomplish. And they need Mimi to make those cookies taste savory. It's really amazing. It's the same with Almighty God. You and I just need a willingness and a desire for relationship. And if you have that, you're going to see some of the greatest things happen that God will start to work in your life. It's incredible. Individual efforts doesn't matter when it comes to partnership with God. Your success will happen when you realize, Lord, I cannot do this without you. I really need your help in every way. Our efforts are a manifestation of our love for God. when we say, Lord, I want to work with you. I want to help and be a part of that. So when we take a look at this, what does individual responsibility look like? Let me just hit 3 points, because this is my journey, and I believe it's accurate and will help you if you say, well, where do I really apply my abilities? Here they are, because what does an individual's responsibility look like? You asked that? Here we go. Because it says, work hard to show the results of your salvation. Letter A, I work hard at aligning my will to God's will. Well, that's important for me because it's not easy. It is not easy. I often am dealing with humility. Scripture says so clearly, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. He can exalt you in due time. If I don't humble myself, I have found God humbles me. Now, that may not be your issue. You may not have walked with the Lord as long as I have, but it's important to align my will with God's will and resist my pride. There's so many occasions, again, my will and God's will, we don't always see eye to eye. And I say, okay, Lord, your will be done. I'm going to trust you. That's a great day. It's very helpful. It seems like things break loose when I choose to submit to God's will. Praise God. Second thing is, letter B, I work hard to align my behavior to what God desires. Now, my behavior needs to be consistent with the one who I'm following, and I want to follow Jesus. And what does that look like? Well, I better love others. I better display forgiveness. I better be willing to want to come along and say, okay, Lord, here I am. I want to be radically different than this world. I want to look like Jesus. There are people that are never going to know God unless they see a radically conformed person that does not look like them. Wow. I work hard at saying, okay, this is where I'm going to commit my life, my behavior. I choose, Lord, to submit even my behavior to you. Letter C, I work hard at aligning my thinking to his will. I'm sure grateful. We have our discipleship class happening next Sunday. If you've never been discipled with coaches for 5 weeks, please consider being a part of that. You will be forever grateful how that will help you. And that will literally help you. And you will be changed forever. That's how big of a deal it really is. And seeing what's happening. But that changing of thought and thinking, doing this, that hard intentional work. Lord, help me to be able to put my trust in you, to depend on you, to be partner with you in these areas. I want my will to line up. I want my behavior to line up. I want my thinking to line up. Work hard at that. Work hard. If that's where you're at right now and you're wanting those things, I guarantee you're going to have an amazing journey till Jesus calls you home. It's going to be great. I love my life. I love what I do. I love challenges, and I'm telling you, living for Jesus is the most challenging thing I've ever had to do. But it's so rewarding. It's so real. He's so tangible. You can literally sense him in the room. And then you can hear his voice when you allow certain things to be able to happen. Well, as we welcome our worship team up, we certainly want to continue to do that. God has already decided to, he wants to help you. Do you believe that? You don't even have to ask him. He's all about helping you. All you have to do is receive it. You have his favor. You have his provision. The beautiful thing is he's going to work in such a unique way. It's going to be a lot of fun this week as you journey with the Lord. Be careful thinking you need to just go it alone and maybe God will follow you. I'm going to invite you right now as we just pray. Let's wait on the Lord just a little bit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Some of you here and you who are watching me right now, this is a, I am confident for you, a tremendous turnaround day. It's where you are willing, I am willing, say, Lord, I want to completely align my life with you and really go all in for this journey. Certain things we conditionally pursue the Lord with, but if that's you and you are ready to say, Lord, I want to surrender, commit my life completely, that old Romans 12:1, that living sacrifice, I think it's important that you're going to be willing to want to make that declaration. It's important that we're going to even have you respond, and you who are at home, for us here, I'm going to have you stand up in a minute and say, man, I recognize there are some things I kind of barter with God on, but I know now I need to completely align my heart and life with him. If that is you, would you do me a favor? Would you go ahead and send me an email? I'll be with you at the end of the service, but you let me know, Pastor Paul, I want to be completely in partnership spiritually with Jesus. It's a great life. You will never regret it. You began it when you were helpless and dead. Now he wants to give you life and a great experience with him. If you're here in the chapel, I want to invite you. If that's you, we're not talking so much a salvation call. We're talking, I know there's some things in my life I don't really surrender fully to him, but I'm ready now. If that's you, I'm inviting you. Would you stand to your feet? Let's stand to our feet right now. Say, Lord, I want to give these areas all to you, all to you. There's nothing I want to hold back. I'm willing to give you those areas that I thought it was up to me only, that it was required of me to do these things alone, and then you would somehow tell me that a boy, that a girl. Lord, thank you. Thank you for these dear ones standing. Thank you for you who are right there viewing and joining with us. Let me pray right now, and then we're going to get back into an element of reading God's heart for us through worship. Father, I want to thank you for today. What a great day. What a wonderful day. For some who are with us today and in this room, this could be the first day of the rest of their life. Lord, we cease from our own works trying to accomplish happiness, trying to secure a peace of mind, trying to sustain some form of imagery of success, fame, or acceptance. Lord, today we just want to be acceptable in your eyes. So as we stand here before you, know our hearts, O Lord, and we surrender, especially those areas where we went it alone, thinking you were with us while we were alone. But Lord, now we merge the two parties, you and us. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Lord, you come right now. Just consume these tremendous offerings. Each one of us is an offering. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.